This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
The Iran nuclear deal will provide $1.8 billion of assets for Iran that the U.S. will transfer back to Iran, $400 million of which was just delivered in a cargo plane that's now become infamous from Donald Trump and the rest of it. Can you sit here right now and guarantee, can you guarantee that none of that money will end up financing Hamas, Hezbollah, the Taliban in strikes against Israel? Will not that money end up hurting Israelis and possibly American soldiers in the Middle East as well?
I mean, forgive me for correcting you, but the $400 million was the result of a court case that unfortunately the United States lost and that we were required to return by the courts to, or that had nothing to do with the Iran.
It's still the $1.8 billion.
What it is that those were monies that were Iran's monies and that they were not allowed access to as a result of the sanctions being levied to make sure that we could keep them from becoming a nuclear state. The Iran deal allowed the release of those funds, and Iran, since the finality of the agreement, has been fully compliant. I wanted to make sure in voting for that Iran deal, which I spent more time researching and sat in the White House situation room, met with our ambassadors in the P5+1 countries, and made sure that I knew that agreement and understood it backwards and forwards, that we put Iran from being 2 to 3 months from nuclear breakout to now 15, 20, and
but
25
will, can you guarantee that that money, that $1.8 billion that's part of the Iran deal, won't be used to finance terror against Israel?
What we know is that we
But can you guarantee
you
it?
You can never guarantee anything.
Excuse me,
Jim, no, you may not. What we need is make sure that we continue to strongly watch over and make sure that agreement remains fully implemented, which it has. Iran has been fully compliant, and now they are nearly 25 years from breakout. And what we also have to make sure now is that we can turn our attention, and what the Iran deal has allowed us to do is turn our attention to going after Iran for their terrorist activity.
She can't, you know, guarantee that Iran is not going to use that money for nuclear ambitions or to fund terrorism any more than she can guarantee that Planned Parenthood is not going to use the money that comes from We the People's coffers to support abortions. You know, they've worked out. This is the way they think. This is the way they operate. So why would we expect anything any different, Scott?
Well, the best part is that she can't guarantee that. She can't guarantee that, but she knows they're, you know, they're fully compliant and they're 25 years away from having a nuclear bomb. Well,
yeah, but what do they say when they have a nuclear bomb in less than 25 years? I mean, clearly that is their ambition. They want to fortify their position there in the Middle East. They're moving, you know, straight forward. With this, they may have slowed down a little bit. We maybe have been able to avoid military conflict for the moment. But like anything, you can pay me now or pay me later. And always later seems to be a lot more expensive.
Yeah, I'll pay you tomorrow for a burger today, right?
Yeah.
And then she, I don't know, it sounds to me, first off, I told you this when we were talking in a break, monies is just the dumbest term in the world to me. It's just money. There is no plural of money other than money. It's like fish and deer. Every time she talks, I have the feeling she's lying to me. And I feel that way about a lot of politicians.
Well, you see, and I agree with you, and I think that some of them just shouldn't be allowed to be given space. We haven't heard a whole lot from Susan Rice, and I'm sure she's a hardworking woman, but she took a serious bullet for the administration. She misrepresented things about Benghazi, and I don't want to see her on TV. I don't want to hear from her. She has no credibility. Debbie Wasserman Schultz the same way, frankly. Hillary Clinton as well, for all the lies and deceptions. I mean, she talks about transparency, but yet she's the least transparent politician we've ever known. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We've got more. Stay with us. 5 minutes right now after the top of the hour.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
America, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us, and it's always great to have Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man, nationally recognized expert on personal finance. For 18 years, Jordan was on the editorial staff of Money Magazine, where he served as Wall Street correspondent. Jordan, how are we doing, buddy?
Great to be with you again, Bill.
Hey, always good. Of course, it's the political season, so we can't help but talk about the obvious, you know, that 800,000-pound gorilla in the room.
Yes.
Donald Trump presented his economic case once again, and Hillary's doing hers. Let's talk about taxes, regulation, and trade. I guess that's what it all comes down to, doesn't it?
Could not be more different views of the world between the two of them. So we saw both of them recently. So let's talk about taxes first. Okay. So Trump is talking about cutting the current 7 tax rates to 3 for individuals, 33%, 25%, 12%. Clinton's talking about raising taxes on those horrible rich people, and rich is considered $250,000 or more, by the way.
Yeah, but she even said she wanted to raise taxes on the middle class, too, Jordan, the other day. Was that a faux pas or what?
No. That's just
and the people applauded. The people applauded. I'm going to raise taxes on the middle class. And they all applauded.
And those evil corporations while we're at it as well. Those people that were called employers, you know.
Yes.
So basically what would happen is people would move or the companies would move their jobs overseas. When you raise taxes, you get less of it. Okay, that's just the way it works. So Trump is not only talking about cutting the individual rates, as we just mentioned, but the corporate rate, which currently is 35%, down to 15% on all business income. Now, where that's particularly significant, Bill, is small businesses.
Yes.
Because when a lot of people run their businesses through subchapter S corporations, they're taxed at individual levels. So if you have a business that's doing well, you could be taxed as much as 39.6%, which is the highest individual tax rate today. That would all be 15%. So you can imagine the surge in income and investment that would create, both in small businesses and big businesses. If you had a 15% corporate rate, all these trillions of dollars sitting around the world would come back here, be invested here, because they're not going to bring it back. We have 35% rate. So they have completely opposite views on taxes.
Yeah, talk about job creation. I mean, who's going to create more jobs, Trump or Clinton?
I think Trump clearly would. I mean, when you cut taxes, and we've done this time after time. I was actually on CNN earlier this week, Bill, and talking about this. And when Kennedy, Reagan, Clinton in 1997, and Bush all cut taxes, the economy boomed. Okay, that's the way it works.
Yeah,
when you raise taxes,
why are they getting lost? What's getting lost in translation here, Jordan? Empirically, I agree with you. You look back and you see the evidence, but yet you have progressives saying, we just didn't spend it. We didn't, you know, get enough tax money yet to make it work.
Revenue soared in all those cases. For the federal government, revenue soared. Now, expenses soared even more. Okay, that's why the deficits went up. For example, under Reagan, when he cut tax rates dramatically in the early 80s, the economy boomed in the 80s, during that time, but we spent even more on a military buildup and all kinds of other things as well. But on the revenue side alone, cutting taxes increases revenue to the government. And that's Clinton's going to go the exact opposite direction, raise taxes, which I think you'll end up getting less revenue.
And with Reagan, it was peace through strength, so we had to build up the military. Clinton blighted the military. Then we ended up going to war, and we have nothing.
There was a peace dividend. After we did that, in the 90s, we had the peace dividend when the Cold War stopped and the Berlin Wall fell down and all that. So it was, I think it was an investment that then paid off for the peace dividend in the 1990s. So, yes, it had to be done. But I'm just saying that's why the deficit went up, not because they cut taxes.
Exactly. What about regulation? I mean,
totally
this current administration.
Totally opposite. Yeah,
exactly.
So under Obama, we have increased regulations in every area. Healthcare with Obamacare, financial services with Dodd-Frank, electricity regulation, labor, higher minimum wage and all kinds. Environmental, they've wiped out the coal industry. I mean, you could go on and on. Mm-hmm. All the regulations have increased dramatically. And Hillary Clinton wants to double up even more and have even more regulation in all these areas to so-called protect people. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Was it because regulations work so well?
Extremely well, yes. They do. They work very well in slowing the economy, Bill. That's what they do.
Yes, right.
So Trump wants to not only have a freeze on new regulations, but roll back a lot of the existing ones. Now, you know, some of them make sense, but a lot of them don't, frankly. Mm-hmm. And it takes a huge amount of money and time, particularly for small businesses, to try to meet all these incredibly complicated regulations. I mean, just to give you one example, in the financial services area, the so-called fiduciary rule is coming now, which sounds like it's a good thing, but in fact, it's going to be really, really hard for individual financial advisors to meet these very high requirements, and the result is they're only going to be able to deal with multimillionaires, because it's not going to make any sense to deal with the average American, so people won't get financial advice. That's an example.
Exactly. I think one quick way to deal with the regulations is just cut back the regulatory staff. What do you think? Maybe by 50%.
Well, that would help. That's a huge machine of regulations. It would be, I mean, Trump's talking about putting a freeze on it. I think Reagan tried something similar, and maybe you can slow the machine, but you can't stop it.
But if you cut it back, I mean, you might be able to slow it down a little bit and, you know, rein it in. But, you know, regulators, they got to do what regulators do, and that is regulate. And they just keep turning out paper.
They don't see the impact of that on the economy. I mean, you go to West Virginia and you see the impact of environmental regulations, okay?
Yeah.
All these things we just talked about. High regulations means lower growth.
Yeah, and that's the question, you know, that people are asking is, who's monitoring this? Who's saying, hey, you know, these regulations or, you know, these ideas just aren't working? I mean, nobody's talking about, let's make government efficient,
rules,
right?
They used to talk about sunsetting of regulations. Mm-hmm. That's right. Never happened that I've seen. And they remember they used to do cost-benefit analysis? You know, is it worth the cost? They don't do that anymore either. It just, just pile on the regulations. The laws themselves are huge. I mean, Obamacare and Dodd-Frank were both about 2,000 pages, the laws were, which are promulgated hundreds of thousands of pages in regulations. So, with very little positive impact as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's nice in healthcare's case that 20 million people are more insured. That's a good thing. But as a result, premiums have gone up dramatically and the deductibles have gone up. So you're paying a lot more for getting a lot less. Okay?
And who makes the assessment here, Jordan, to say it was worth the investment?
It's a political thing. It's okay. Basically, Hillary Clinton's only want to make even more Obamacare and broaden it even more. Now, meanwhile, here's some news that's been going on lately. The major insurance companies in Obamacare have been dropping out. Just last week, Aetna said they lost $300 million in the exchanges last year, and they're dropping out of all 15 states they're in. The week before, United Healthcare did the same thing. So it's great to have these exchanges, but there's going to be no insurance companies to sign up inside them.
Well, of course, because then that leaves it all wide open for single payer, and guess who comes to the rescue?
There you go.
Hey, we know where that's coming from.
That's the ultimate plan, you're right. Yeah.
Without a doubt. So let's talk about trade.
Yeah, completely opposite views on that.
Mm.
So Trump wants to get better trade deals, and if he doesn't get what he wants with our major trading partners, Mexico, China, Japan, Canada, then he says we're going to impose 35 and 45% tariffs on them.
Mm.
Well, that sounds okay, you know, bring these jobs home to America. This is where I disagree with him, because I think getting into a trade war is going to hurt both sides, and that's what would happen. If we impose a 45% tariff on Mexico or China, they're going to immediately put tariffs on our stuff going there, and both sides lose.
Yeah.
Also, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is with the 12 countries around the Pacific, Trump does not like that. Clinton says she doesn't, but she really does. I think there's some good things in the TPP, frankly. These countries have made major concessions all over the place. Japan, Australia, Canada. And it's really difficult politically to do that. So that's an area where I would disagree with Trump. I want more trade, not less. And I think if he's so belligerent and putting these tariffs on people, that would create less trade. We did this before. It was called the Depression of the 1930s.
Yes, right, exactly. Well, Jordan Goodman has been with us. Jordan, good stuff here. America's Money Answers, man. Where can they go for more information, Jordan?
MoneyAnswers.com. I get emails from your folks all the time. I'm glad to answer all kinds of personal financial questions and links and videos, all kinds of things at MoneyAnswers.com.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries. Aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
War. It's been a part of humanity in every age. We fight for power, for riches, for rights, or for freedom. There always seems to be something to fight for. But one thing has remained true of every war. Behind the field of battle, someone has developed a strategy. This was part of my husband's role in the army. He would look at what the enemy was doing, then begin putting together the resources and a plan to fight against them. He was a crucial part of this process until a heart attack claimed his life. That was a hard time for me and our son. I was reminded that death is a part of life, and that the life we're given should never be taken for granted. It's been 40 years since Leo passed, but I still hold on to the many lessons I learned from that time. I find myself amazed that of the many battles we engage in today, be it money, control, or matters of the heart, very few of us know how to fight the right way or understand who we're really fighting against. To win any battle, you've got to have the right strategy and resources, because victories don't come by accident.
Bill Martinez, live.
Great wisdom there from Miss Claire from War Room. Strategy, ladies and gentlemen, you know, again, my bit of encouragement to you is that we have to realize that it's not all about what's happening in the physical realm. We're spiritual beings as well, and we need to understand what's happening spiritually. And that's what she's communicating to us. And I think it's a great segue into our next guest, Michael Lohan, who's going to give us a rare look into look inside addiction, Hollywood celebrity and recovery expert Michael Lohan, and of course, the father of one Lindsay Lohan. Michael, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you here. I mentioned to my son, my 25-year-old son, that Lindsay's dad was going to be on with us this morning. And he goes, Dad, remember I met her at Disneyland? We were doing a promotion. This, I think Lindsay was all of about 14 years old at the time. And he had a chance to meet her and talk with her at some time. It's still a highlight. He has pictures of the two of them together. And he just wished you all the best. He says, make sure you tell her dad, give him my best wishes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Was that Disneyland or Disney World?
Disneyland in Anaheim, California. This was when I was working for KRLA in Los Angeles at the time, and we had a big promotion there, and she was there along with some other celebs, but it was just a great time. And, you know, and as a result of that, obviously, I mean, you kind of feel some sense of connection, so you kind of keep her, you have your eyes open on her life and what the two of you have gone through, and of course, to have you on the show here, to talk about addiction, what you have gone through and what you've learned firsthand here, Michael. The first suggested question that was given to me is, why is the world of addiction a place without any prejudice? And I'm not sure in that, because I, you know, in what that question particularly means. Because I see that people still have a prejudice against people who are addicted. Maybe that's not what you meant.
It's pretty sad if that's what they meant, because addiction is a disease just like anything else, and it's proven so. I mean, we're looking at medical modalities and how it really affects the body from a medical perspective as well as a psychological one, and it is a disease, and it's genetic. And Dr. Kenneth Blum, who found the addiction gene in the brain, is one of my board members. But it's a shame, because when someone has a heart disease, or if they have cancer or, you know, MS or something, people don't scrutinize them. They don't look down on them and knock them, and they don't look at them in that way. But, you know, it's addiction doesn't discriminate. You know, and it's funny, you said something before. We're talking about spiritual realms. Unless you have the Spirit of God in you, unless you take a spiritual approach and get at treatment in, when it comes to drugs and alcohol, you're not going to get better, because with God, anything is possible. Without Him, nothing is possible. And if there's one being that does discriminate, it's the devil. And the devil wants to go after people that are close to God. He doesn't care about the ones that don't follow his ways. And unfortunately, you know, when people are caught up in addiction and they don't have, you know, that spiritual sense to them, that spiritual being within them, then, you know, they're lost and, you know, they're going to continue on that path.
Well, there was a TED Talk here recently, probably about a year ago. I've been trying to get the speaker, Johan Ihari, on with us since I first saw it. And it was quite revolutionary in understanding a point of addiction. I think you addressed this as well, Michael, and that is the importance of relationship. You know, when you take somebody who's been addicted and has an addiction issue and you want to treat it in a different sense, in it not being a disease, and you want to cast judgment on them, put them in jail, that you're actually exacerbating the problem. You're not doing anything to really solve the problem.
No, you're not. And you know what? Here's the problem. Look at, let's face it. Our treatment model here in the United States is broken. It's not working. Mm-hmm. When you have a system or treatment programs where the overall statistically the relapse rate is 9 out of 10 people that go to treatment relapse within 90 days of being out of treatment, there's something wrong. And I'll tell you what's wrong. The thing is, treatment is cookie cutter, and most treatment centers, first of all, most of them care about the money. They don't care about the client. There's very few that really care about the client because it's such a money-making proposition to them. But all they do is one-on-ones, you know, on occasion, maybe once a week or once a month for that matter, and group therapy constantly. They don't look at the whole medical component or the spiritual component. When you have a cut on your leg, do you talk to it to make it better? No. Well, the brain is damaged when you use drugs, and so are some of your organs. You can't treat them by talking to them. You have to take a medical approach, and treatment centers just don't take that medical approach. There's some out there, like there's one in Southern California called the Southern California Addiction Center in Temecula that does it.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, there's another one called Seastone that's right here in Delray Beach that does it. We're opening holistic medical centers to actually offer people services for nothing that they don't get in treatment. Their insurance, of course, will pay for the doctor visit, but, you know, it's my company, soberservices.org, is we do everything for free. We don't charge anything. All we do is tell people, we give them advice on the best way to get better. We find it. If they want a treatment program, we'll find a treatment program for them. But there's things out there they don't know about, like naltrexone. Naltrexone is an antagonist that blocks your receptors, and you lose all cravings for alcohol or opiates. It doesn't work on benzos. It doesn't work on amphetamines, barbiturates, and psychotropics. But it does work on alcohol and opiates, which are the biggest problems these days. But people don't know about it because the drug treatment industry is too highly incentivized by pharmaceutical companies that are giving people drugs when they're going into a treatment center to get off drugs, and they're giving them other medication that throws off their brain chemistry anyway. So there's a big problem here.
Exactly. Well, Michael, that's been my big issue with so many things of the American way of life in the 21st century, is that we seem to be rewarding all the wrong behavior and the wrong incentives. And what you're bringing to light here is a revolution that really needs to be had in this country when it comes to addiction. I hope, you know, we'll stay in touch, and I would like to continue to keep this story in front of our audience and continue to increase their educational awareness as to what's going on and all the good work that you're doing there. Remind everybody, Michael, where they can go for more information, if you would, please.
They can go to our website, and our phone number's on there. It's soberservices.org. They can also, I mean, we'll guide them in the right direction, give them the advice that they need, and try to help them the best we can. But they can look up, there's some great treatment programs, like I said, like Seastone in Delray Beach, Florida. And then there's the Southern California Addiction Center, which takes a medical approach as well.
Well, Michael Lohan, father of movie star and celebrity Lindsay Lohan, Hollywood celebrity recovery expert and entrepreneur. Michael, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like AccuCheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
A note to D.C. bureaucrats. You're not getting away with it. Bill Martinez, live. Martinez Live.
Hey, thank you for joining us. This is Bill Martinez coming at you in over 280 markets across the United States and also around the world via shortwave. We're all over the place. Thank you for joining in. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. If you want to drop me an email, we love hearing from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Our next guest is Sean Haiti, and Sean has a new book out called Numbering My Days, How the Liturgical Calendar Rearranged My Life. Shane, did I say Sean? I meant Shane. Shane Haiti. Shane, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Hey, great to have you here. Shane is Associate Professor of English at Longwood University in Farmville, Virginia, a scholar of religion and literature. He's a convert to Catholicism. His essays have appeared in Catholic and ecumenical magazines such as New Oxford Review, America, and Touchstone. Shane, I thought maybe you'd appreciate, when I was at Mass yesterday, the priest relayed the story about these three professionals arguing which was the oldest profession in the universe. It was a lawyer, a scientist, and a physician. And the physician said, well, of course, it, you know, it has to be a physician because, after all, you know, God did the first surgery in pulling out the rib out of Adam to create Eve. And then the scientist says, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Well, we got to go before then. And that was the creation. Look at the stars, the moon, heaven and earth created by God. It's got to be scientists, scientists, without a doubt, the oldest profession. And then the lawyer spoke up and said, hey, look at, but you have to remember, before all that, there was chaos and confusion, and that had to come from attorneys.
That's pretty good.
I thought it was good. I told him, I said, Father, I'm going to rip that off from you. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't even have to go to the confessional because you're going to have to give me a penance up front. But I'm stealing that joke from you, okay? so it was good. Yeah, I thought so. So I had to share it with everybody. I thought you might appreciate it as well. So,
well, sure.
Shane,
so, we English professors have our role in spreading chaos and confusion too often.
Well, you know, but if it's just chaos and confusion for chaos and confusion, that's one thing. If it's, hey, we're going to create some chaos and confusion to get you to think so that we can progress and move forward, you know, that's yet another deal. And that's what I've been dealing with here recently in my studies, Shane, is that I keep dealing with this. What is the vision? What are we focusing on? Are we focusing more on the minors instead of the majors? Are we willing to let go of the major result and vision and goal that we're shooting for to argue about all these minors that take us off track?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because, you know, that's very much what I was dealing with when I wrote the book as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I realized I realized that I was, you know, I was working 50 or 60 hours a week. I was driving an hour to and from work. I had a one-year-old daughter. I basically wasn't sleeping. I was really kind of, I realized that I was feeling kind of burned out and empty, and it really kind of hit me as I was sitting at a coffee shop with my daughter, you know, guzzling coffee down to try to stay awake and shoving bits of croissant at her across the table so that she wouldn't interrupt me while I sent some work email. But there was something wrong here, that I'd lost that center that you're talking about. That I didn't have that kind of sense of perspective about what was major, what was minor, what was really important, and what wasn't. I've been really reading about the liturgy, and I thought, you know, maybe the liturgical calendar could give me that sense of meaning, that sense of center, and help me see what's important and not important that I've been missing. So, you know, sitting there in a coffee shop with my daughter singing Old MacDonald and jazz music playing in the background, I vowed that I'd spend, the next year, trying to really see what happened if I made the liturgy the center of my life. And that's what the book's about.
Well, that's great. Well, and I got to tell you, my eyes were opened up to appreciate once again the liturgical calendar. I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school, raised by nuns, and we were, you know, taught this. But I don't think we really appreciated it. It was like just getting through class. And it's only been down through the years when I've gone full circle and have been able to appreciate, you know, what the nuns were trying to get through to me and through my thick skull, and you begin to realize, go, how brilliant the liturgical calendar is and how it does the one thing that we hear refrained in the Old Testament constantly is the term remember.
Mm-hmm.
And the liturgical calendar helps us to remember and to re-engage our centeredness on those things that are most important in our lives.
That's so true. And by giving us the assigned reading for the day, it connects us, you know, to the lives that we're living in that moment. You know, it's such a simple practice. I think sometimes, you know, if we're feeling that need for kind of a spiritual center or a closer connection with God, we think of something, you know, exotic or difficult. You know, would be the thing that would provide that solution. When very often, kind of the church has given us kind of an answer that's so close to us that we miss it. Mm-hmm. You know, like the liturgical calendar, that it's right there. But if you think about it, like Saint Francis of Assisi, you know, part of how he started his ministry was he went to Mass. He heard the story of the rich young ruler, of the man who sold his possessions and gave all he had to follow Jesus. Or no, who did not do that, I'm sorry. Jesus saying that, mm-hmm. but he should have done.
Right.
And Francis heard that, and he saw that it spoke to his life at that moment, and it changed the world. And I wondered, you know, how different, you know, would all of our lives be if we listened to what was being said to us you know, through the liturgical calendar in the way he did.
Well, Shane, what you just related here is a very simple but powerful dynamic that I think that sometimes we lose in translation because we try to make things so lofty and spiritual. You know, it's almost like in that moment of Sister Act, you know, one of my favorite moments was when Whoopi Goldberg was told to pray, and she was trying to pray, you know, for the meal, for the, you know, God's blessing on the meal. You know, it was her just very secular, wannabe spiritual, you know, interpretation of how to talk to God. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we do that and we get so lofty. And when God says, hey, look, just come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
I know what's happening. Let's just, hey, be upfront. Let's deal with it. And I can say that my most powerful prayers that I've ever had and connecting with God was just saying, hey, God, you know, this hurts. I don't know how else to put it. I just simple, just say, hey, this really bothers me. This is really hurting me.
Yeah.
And the answers are just so profound. But it was just, you know, being real with God, you know?
Yeah, I have a moment in the book where I talk about, you know, my attempt to, you know, to pray to God. And one of the more important moments of prayer in the course of the year, and it happens while I'm in the car on the way to work, as I'm stressed out about a meeting, and I've just dumped a cup of coffee all over my pants. And I realize there's no way I'm going to be able to get back and change. And so yeah, everything's going wrong. I'm surrounded in chaos. And I'm just kind of calling out to God being for that center. And I'm thinking about the liturgical reading for the day, which was about Hannah. And I think about Hannah from the Old Testament, the mother of Samuel.
Yes.
You know, she comes into the temple, and she pours her heart out to God just so directly and honestly that the priest actually mistakes her for being drunk.
Exactly.
And she replies, no, I'm just, you know, pouring out my heart. I'm full of weeping and sorrow. And, you know, God meets her there, and then, you know, she bears Samuel, and then that becomes part of the story of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's the same thing, another story, you know, fast forward, New Testament, the blind man. He's been blind since birth. He doesn't understand what happened. All he knows is what happened is that he was blind. Now he sees, and he's relating it, you know, to the ruling class at that time. And they think, you know, he's messed up or, you know, mentally deranged, or he was never blind to begin with. They just didn't want to accept, you know, the miracle that it just happened. And here they are. But here's this profound testimony that echoes through the ages, even in this 21st century America.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff, huh?
Oh, indeed.
Hey, Shane, can you stick around for a little bit longer on the other side of the break? I'd like to continue our conversation if you got time.
Oh, sure. I'd be glad to.
Okay, great. Shane Hetty is with us. His book, Numbering My Days, How the Liturgical Calendar Rearranged My Life. We've got more from Shane right here on Bill Martinez Live. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com, that's where you want to go. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what's altered. What's changed your life? Have you gotten to that point where you're numbering your days? Drop me an email. Love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. More from Shane Hetty right after this.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
The investment world isn't fair. A precious metals trader buys gold and silver at spot price. You pay his price plus fees, costs, and shipping. But today, you don't. Today, JM Bullion offers a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, no markups, no shipping. Invest in something real, not Wall Street paper. 10 ounces of silver at spot price. Visit realpricesilver.com for this limited-time offer. One per household, 50 United States only. Realpricesilver.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't it stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, even your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Let's go down, down, down to the river. You will be changed. Let's go down, down, down.
Your program. Your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, if you're tired and sick and tired of the same old, maybe that's what you need. Time to go down to the river, huh? Time to change. Well, Shane Heady is with us. He's the author of the book, Numbering My Days, How the Liturgical Calendar Rearranged My Life. Shane was a believing Catholic whose daily concerns were shaped primarily by forces other than his faith. Career demands, financial decisions, scheduling conflicts, you know, it's like we've all been there, right? Well, he worked long hours and had limited regular interaction with his wife, also a busy professional, and his young daughter. He was a typical overextended and anonymous modern Catholic man. Shane, you know, how did you come to, come to this revelation of the liturgical calendar? I know some people, you know, they understand our regular calendar that we deal with. But then there's the liturgical calendar, how that brought you into sync with the very heartbeat of the church.
Sure. I was aware of the liturgical calendar, but like, you know, we talked about before the break, a lot of us are aware about it without really thinking about it. And as you mentioned, I am an English professor, and I was reading a book actually from the 1800s that basically made this claim that if you tried to actually follow the liturgical calendar, it would alter your life. It's a book of poetry, and the author calls the liturgical calendar, our holy teacher. And actually compares it to the process of learning in school. That, every day the church is presenting a kind of lesson before us. And just like you don't learn everything at once, in school, you totally don't learn everything at once in the spiritual life. And the book was suggesting that if you, if you did this, you're learning step by step by step by step, you'd slowly develop, just like learning a difficult subject in school, and then suddenly eventually you'd find yourself at a different point. I'd been reading this just because I'm an English teacher, that's my job, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And then it suddenly hit me, what if instead of just analyzing this as a bunch of words, I tried to do it? What if I tried to live it? And so that's kind of how I discovered that idea.
Okay, so for our audience, it doesn't quite understand, and even overtax Catholics that may not appreciate the liturgical calendar. Explain to them what you mean by the liturgical calendar.
Oh, sure, yeah. Thanks. Yes, because, yeah, that's certainly not every faith tradition has that. The Catholic Church assigns for every single day of the year a series of readings, typically a reading from the Old Testament, a psalm, and a reading for the New Testament, and an epistle for Sunday. So on Sunday, we get sort of the whole scope of salvation history. We have something from the Old Testament kind of leading up to Christ. We have a psalm. Of course, in the Psalms, we pour our hearts out before God. And then we have the epistles, which help us understand the early church and doctrine. And then we have a story from the gospel, which brings us into contact with Christ himself. For all the other days of the year, there's usually a reading from the Old Testament and from the New Testament, again, to kind of bring us into contact with salvation history. And many of the days have specific commemorations that kind of try to remind us of important moments, like Christmas, the birth of Christ, or various saints whose example can be kind of close to us and help us see how to live.
You know, what I like about this is that it brings us in unity, in much the same way. I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to my wife about this, is that, in the Catholic Mass, all around the world, you've got people praying the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to think, in the spiritual realm, that is incredibly powerful when you think how many people around the world at varying times of the day, but particularly on Saturday and Sunday, which is probably the most populated masses and attendances that take place around the world, where they're one in mind and heart over the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus himself taught his apostles to pray, because they said, hey, we want what you got. Teach us to pray the way you pray.
Yeah, it is really powerful that way. And that's certainly something I came to understand, too, that the liturgical calendar is a powerful way of what's sometimes called kind of thinking with the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to get sort of caught up in our own concerns and our own lives, or in patterns of thought that just reflect the dominant culture. That rather than reflecting Christ and his message, just kind of reflect television, or the many messages that bombard us from the internet. And certainly one of the things I learned is that it's sort of and the liturgical calendar is kind of a powerful antidote to that. So you're thinking, you're encountering the gospel story with billions of Catholics around the world each day, and applying that to your life and seeing things differently.
Shane, how is it different from, some programs where you read the Bible in a year, where it includes, you got Proverbs, Psalms,
sure,
a New Testament section, and mm-hmm. and Old Testament, that after 365 days, you've read the entire Bible in the year.
Sure.
How does that differ from the liturgical calendar that you're talking about?
Okay, that's a good question. And I would like to preface my response by saying, if anybody reads the Bible in a year, that's great. I mean, any way that people come into contact with the Bible, I'm in favor of. Mm-hmm. But the liturgical calendar has sort of a special beauty, in part because you're thinking, with the church, with the billions of Catholics throughout the year, in part because the readings are arranged to sort of not just to get coverage done. If you're doing a through the Bible in a year plan, it's typically just kind of divided up to make sure you get through everything. Mm-hmm. The readings selected for the liturgical calendar are typically tell us a story. The Old Testament reading is almost always chosen specifically because it foreshadows something that happens in the New Testament reading, what's sometimes called typology. That kind of helps us see how Christ is prefigured before he even comes. And the epistle reading is usually chosen because it helps us interpret what happened in the gospel better. So it's not just a question of making it through the scriptures, which is great in itself. It's wonderful to read the Bible, but it's sort of, it gives us some training in how to read them and how to understand them and how to reach a deeper understanding of what's happening in scripture by those selections. So I think that's one difference.
Perhaps there's more context in that type of format.
Yeah, I think so, because these have been very carefully chosen, and for especially special feasts, they're the same readings the church has celebrated throughout the ages for thousands of years, and it has seen like a connection between these readings and the story of that particular saint or that particular moment in Jesus' life. So, yeah, it trains us to understand Scripture better, I think. So in that way, it would differ from just through the year. And also in the other way you pointed out, that we're doing this with believers throughout the world. It's not a through the Bible in year plan. I can begin on any day I choose, so long as I do it for 365 days. And it's just sort of me having that private experience. And of course, if the church is the body of Christ, it's much more powerful if we do this together.
Yeah, we're joining hearts, and there's a lot to be said about that. Again, in terms of the unity and the agreement with God about what he sees and how the alignment of our perspective and our worldview, how it's adjusted to align with his. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right?
Exactly. And that's the picture that we get in the liturgical year, which in fact, you know, the final Sunday of the liturgical year is the Feast of Christ the King, where we think about that final kingdom coming, when Christ will be Lord over, or we'll all see that Christ is Lord over heaven and earth, and, you know, the second coming. You know, that's where we end.
Well, Deacon Harold Burke Silver says, and he's the author of Behold the Man, A Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality. He refers to your book as a delightful book through engaging personal stories. Shane Hetty shows just how much it'll change your life to center your days on the liturgical calendar. Jennifer Fulweiler, and also an author, Something Other Than God is what she wrote. And we quote her as saying, one of the myriad ailments afflicting the modern world is the loss of the sense of the sacredness of time. I like the way she says that. Sacredness of time, a deafness to the rhythms that accentuate a truly Christian life. Shane Hetty provides the antidote delivered in lush prose with an accompanying storyline that at times hilarious, at times poignant. And I imagine when you're, as you're writing this book and as the pages are unfolding for you, as the written word is coming together, Shane, and the inspiration, you just had to felt like God was using you in such a powerful way. Did you have the sense that perhaps you were on hallowed ground at times?
I did, particularly when I looked back. I initially, the rough draft of the book was written as sort of a series of spiritual exercises that I was kind of performing, you know, for myself, just to try to get closer to God. It was when I finished the year and realized how much I had changed, to see exactly how I changed after reading the book. But when I finished the year and realized how much I had changed, and realized how much my problems were everybody's problems. That didn't really strike me till the year was over, and then I really felt at that point like God had used this experience not just for me, not just to bring me closer to Him, but that it was a story that other people could benefit from.
Exactly. Well, the psalmist cries out, "Lord, help me to number my days." He got insight. He got revelation into the shortness of life, and that even though. You know, as one of the wisest men ever, not even one, he was the wisest man, Solomon, and said that life is like chasing the wind, that it's all vanity. That aside, the psalmist saw some significance to life and said there must be something important. And God, help me to number my days, to see the number of my days as significant and just as important as you see them. Shane Hetty has been our guest. His book, Numbering My Days, How the Liturgical Calendar Rearranged My Life, your book available at all the usual places, Shane Hetty, right?
Oh, yes, yeah, indeed. Yeah, you get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or directly from the Ignatius Press website.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency.